What's up?
Hey.
Welcome back to the Blues Library Podcast. I'm Ashley and I'm joined by my lovely co-host Lexi.
Hello.
And today we are talking about one of our favorites.
From Blood and Ash. Jennifer L. Armentrout. I hope I'm saying the last name right.
You are.
Okay, cool. So, spoiler warning and trigger warning. So, neither Ashley or I have read The War of Two Queens, so nothing from that book will be spoiled, but we have read the other series, and then I'm going to have to remember, because there's a lot more things that make sense after reading A Shadow in the Ember, and Ashley has not read that yet, so we're going to, since they're technically not the same series, but they do kind of coincide a little bit, we're going to just take that out, and I'm going to have to remember not to say anything. It was really hard while I was reading the synopsis not to like put a little thing in there, and I was like, no, Ashley hasn't read it, she's not gonna understand. So the War of Two Queens and then the Shadow in the Ember we will not be talking about, but the first three in this series, you know us by now, we're gonna spoil it, so
yeah, it is what it is.
So the trigger warnings are, and this is from JLA's website, so this is for the book as well. And I don't think Ashley missed a single thing that we'd be talking about outside of this either. Yes, I did update those.
Okay.
So the trigger warnings are death, gore, talk of loss of a child, talk of kidnapping, talk of death of of children, mention of loss of a child in past, loss of a loved one, mention of suicide, there is assault, physical abuse, blood depictions, mention of rape, anxiety depictions, self-harm to get blood, and general war themes. That was a long list.
Yes.
So, just a heads up, I did the oh, I'm like trying to scroll. Anyways, so I did the reread for this one. I don't know if Ashley read it at some point, but I was in charge of the synopsis. There is so much fucking information packed into this book. Like, it's like, what, 600 and something pages? Not a really long book, but there's so much fucking information that, like, I took out as much as I possibly could while trying to keep at least enough information in that everything made sense.
So that being said, what she's trying to say is this episode is going to be a little different because we're probably going to talk a lot during the synopsis, because the synopsis is 8 motherfucking pages.
Yeah. Sorry, but you know what? That's just the way of From Blood and Ash, honestly. So.
All right, getting started on this synopsis that's not brief. The book starts with Poppy, the maiden, at the Red Pearl playing cards. Also, can we just talk about the fact that this club is called the Red Pearl? Like, it always makes me like laugh, and then it makes my face turn red because I'm like, oh my God, why am I thinking of this? Okay. While she's at the Red Pearl, she overhears a conversation between guards that they found a body that was completely torn apart, appearing to be shredded by a wild dog. Poppy knows that it couldn't have been a wild dog with how much damage they were talking about, but it could have been a wolven, an extinct creature that is not human or beast, but both. Basically a werewolf. The guards... The guard who died was outside the Rise, which is a wall that keeps Macedonia safe. There are only a few that leave the safety of the Rise, and those who left usually came back cursed. Realizing that they are in the presence of a lady, the guards halt all conversation on this topic and move on to something else, during which time we learn a little bit more about Poppy's gift. She can feel other people's emotions. If they're not projecting their emotions into the air around them, she can feel it when she looks at someone and focuses on them. On Poppy's 19th birthday, she would ascend and be given to the gods. Poppy feels a little uneasy about this, but considering her brother Ian already ascended, and based off the letters that he sent her, seems normal, she kind of thinks her fears are unfounded. The ascended also lived for a very long time. As Poppy tries to see what is behind this red curtain, a woman stops her and they converse. The woman knows that Poppy is the maiden, and as Poppy starts to panic because she's not supposed to be in the Red Pearl, the woman assures her that she won't tell anyone. Just then, Victor, her personal guard, walks into the Red Pearl, and Poppy has to think quick on her feet about how to get out of sight so that he doesn't see her, because again, she's not supposed to be at the Red Pearl.
Or really anywhere near it, or really outside of her bedroom. So
yeah, valid. True. The woman that Poppy was talking to sends her upstairs to an unoccupied room to seek a hiding place and tell her, and she tells her that when Poppy is, oh my God.
Oh my. Speak God. Much?
Yeah, really. The woman that Poppy was talking to sends her upstairs to an unoccupied room to seek a hiding place and tells her that she will go get Poppy when it's safe for her to leave. When Poppy asked why she would help her, the lady said that everyone deserves to live a little. Okay, can we just talk about this being Willa Collins, please? I love this so much, especially when you know that this is fucking Willa. Okay, that's all.
I was just going to leave that. And then at the last, or when the book, when we finally find out, which I can't remember if it's the next book or the book after.
I think it's the third one.
Where we were just going to like have a heyday with that. So I was just going to leave it as a surprise.
No, I love it. It's one of my favorite things. Poppy rushes upstairs to the room where she hears a chuckle in the hallway. She rushes into the room in front of her after hearing the chuckle, where a man holds her and says, "This is unexpected." The man in the room is none other than Hawk Flynn, one of the guards that was sent from Carcedonia, and the castle hottie.
Oh my God, love him.
Also, before I get farther into this, there's a lot of funny like comments in here that Lexi wrote, and I'm going to say them all. So my favorite is the swoon and like all of those. Okay. Poppy notes that Hawk is always in pain, but not physical pain. Hawk kisses Poppy and quickly realizes that she's not who he thought she was. He tries to get her to tell him who she is, but she won't. As they talk, Poppy comes to the realization that she, the maiden, has had her first kiss and is worried that she may be found unworthy and be exiled from the kingdom. Poppy ends up not leaving the room, and they start to have some fun when there's a knock on the door. Sorry, the fact that you called it fun killed me.
But I put fun in the italics.
I know. Oh my God. Kieran is at the door to let Hawk know that the envoy has arrived. Hawk gets ready to leave, but asks Poppy to wait for him to get back. She promises she will, but leaves shortly after. The next morning, Tawny, Poppy's companion and lady in waiting, asks where she was the night before. Poppy tries to lie, but Tawny checked on her, and Poppy finally reveals that she was at the Red Pearl. She did not disclose her rendezvous with Hawk, though she was confused about waking up in the middle of the night, horny as fuck, because Hawk didn't finish what he started, and she didn't know what being horny was like. Major fucking laughing at this situation. Okay. Tawny mentions that she overheard that the mist was gathering beyond the Blood Forest, a forest where the trees bled and everything is red. Oh, that rhymed and it wasn't even supposed to. Anyway, but the subject has changed before we get enough information about this. Tawny and Poppy then talk about their ascensions, and Poppy reveals that she's nervous, and Tawny says she's excited. Later that night, Victor shows up at her chambers and says they have been summoned and that there is a cursed. The cursed turn into cravens and were the product of Atlanteans, the product of their poisonous kiss. Marlow, the man that is cursed, wanted to say goodbye to his family, and when he tries to end himself, the curse would not allow it. That is the nature of the curse. Poppy and Victor go to ensure that the cursed can die with dignity, something that is treasonous to the crown, and they've been doing this together for 3 years. Right before Poppy ends Marlow, he reveals that he was not the only one. The other guy, Ridley, wanted to say goodbye to his dad, and Marlow didn't know if he'd killed himself or not. After leaving Marlowe's wife and kid, they discovered that Ridley had not been able to end his life, but his father did. Quote, soup's sad. God, did you type soup's sad? That is like, I can't. Okay. Victor and Poppy have a little heart to heart, and Victor accuses Poppy of wanting to be caught with all of the risks that she takes. She denies it all, and we end with Victor telling her that the end result will not change. She will ascend. Rylan, one of her guards, is there to collect her for her nightly walk in the garden. Lord Molester stops her and wishes to talk with her. Yes, we understand that he has an actual name, but...
Nobody really gives a shit about his name because he's honestly just a piece of shit. He doesn't deserve to have a name, so...
Hence this name. He makes a bunch of creepy comments, and then there's a scream, and in one of the little alcove room things, there is a dead woman with deep puncture wounds. There is talk of there being a dissenter, but Victor and Poppy come to the conclusion that it must be an Atlantean. Basically, Atlanteans are vampires, and their poisonous kiss is the bite where they drink blood, similar to the Kraven, but they have manners and don't get blood everywhere, like the Kraven do. Their lifespan, strength, and healing comes from them feeding off of mortals.
I have something to say. So, like you're saying with the Kraven, like the Kraven do. Basically, think the difference between if you've watched, not read, but watched Vampire Diaries, so I actually won't understand this one. Well, maybe it's in the books. I don't know how different these books are from the TV show. I've heard that they're quite different. So, basically, Stefan in control versus Ripper Stefan.
I have no idea what that means, but okay. Think right. of that, guys. So we find out all of this when our little rebel Poppy sneaks out of her room to search for proof that she and Victor were right the morning after the girl was found. After finishing the book that she learned you can't tell an Atlantean from a human from the Ascended, she stops in the room of the murder scene to see if she could find any evidence. Though the room had been cleaned out and there was no sign of any murder, she did find a jasmine petal behind a chair leg. But the weird thing is, there is a vase of flowers containing lilies, not jasmine. Poppy leaves the room feeling a little bit defeated that they couldn't find anything that was helpful, but she plans to continue to look. Poppy spent the rest of the day in her room, and at dusk, Rylan asks if she wants to attempt a walk in the Queen's garden again. On the walk to the garden, Poppy notices that Rylan is more on guard than usual. As they are talking about the beauty of the night-blooming roses, Rylan is shot with an arrow, and he tells Poppy to run, but of course, Bestie doesn't listen. She rushes to Rylan's side when the man who shot Rylan tells her to listen to him, and she pretends to follow his orders. They fight. Poppy injures him, but the bad guy lets something slip. He said, "I don't care what he has planned for you. You will pay for this." And some other really gruesome things that we are not going to repeat. And he leaves when someone in the trees whistles. She rushes to try and find someone to help her collect Rylan, and she finds Victor. I almost said Richter? What was that? she finds Victor. Poppy is with the Duchess, being seen by a healer, and the Duchess said that Rylan was not alert enough. And though Poppy fights her on this, when Victor steps in and says that he was not aware enough as well, Poppy, though still in disagreement with them, stops arguing. She then realizes that the Duchess is not upset about what happened because she cares about Poppy, but she's worried about what happened because of what Poppy being the maiden means. Her ascension is linked to everyone else's that comes after her. They are also told that the arrow that killed Rylan was marked, and it carried the Dark One's promise. His promise to his people is, from blood and ash, we will rise. We shall rise. So we shall? I'm a dumbass. I just had like a little mini combo to myself. Okay.
It's fine.
From blood and ash, we shall rise. The Duchess lets out that she believes whoever killed the lady in wait was an Atlantean and that the Dark One has come for Poppy. She also states that once the King and Queen find out about what happened to Rylan, she wouldn't be surprised if they summon Poppy back to the capital to better protect her. Victor and Poppy go back to her room, and after Victor searches her chambers to ensure no one is there, she takes a bath and thinks back. We learn a little bit more about the night her parents died. The Mist came in for them, and they were unable to protect themselves, but Poppy survived. The Queen, Illyana, and Poppy's mother were very close friends, and Poppy's mother was due to ascend, but asked for permission not to, because the man she fell in love with, Poppy's dad, was not a lord and would not ascend. The Queen granted her wish, and the Queen claims to regret it to this day. The Queen believes that if she had refused Poppy's mother's request, she would still be alive, and the night she died may never have happened. Tawny comes to Poppy's room when she can't sleep, and they talk. Poppy comes to the realization that everyone would do anything possible to ensure that her ascension takes place, and the Queen may even petition the gods to move the ascension up. At the funeral for Rylan, Victor is the one who should step up and light the pyre, but he is concerned about leaving Poppy alone. Hawk steps up and agrees to protect Poppy. Poppy is nervous, but doesn't think that he'll recognize her while she has her veil on, and she refuses to say anything just in case he recognizes her voice. Later, while Victor and Poppy are training, she asks who he thinks would replace Rylan. I almost said Riker again, bro. What?
I don't know. Why are you having so many problems?
Bro, it's like the last episode over again where I kept mixing everyone up. Okay.
That was just so bad. Garrett and Allie.
Dude, like, that was so bad. Whoa. I'm editing it, right? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, Ashley, what are you saying? Okay. She asks Victor who he thinks might replace Rylan, and they come to the conclusion that Hawk is a likely candidate, and Poppy is nervous because she knows that if he does become her guard, there's a very high chance that he will find out that she was the woman at the Red Pearl. Flash forward, and Victor and Poppy are in the Great Hall with the Duke and Duchess for the weekly city council meeting. A man and woman step forward with their son and ask that even though he is their third son, he should be spared from participating in the rite due to their first two sons dying. The Duke and Duchess decline their request and state that 1 month from his birth, he is to be given to the High Priest, where he will basically spend the time up until his rite learning how to serve the gods. Poppy couldn't sleep that night and thought about the fact that Hawk looked very unhappy with the fact that the Duke and... What? Holy fuck, bro. That Hawk was very upset, very unhappy with the fact that the Duke and Duchess declined the family's request to keep their son. She also noticed how he was not the only one who looked angry. A lot of the families in attendance looked at the Duke and Duchess with anger in their expressions. The next morning, Poppy is summoned to a meeting with the Duke and Duchess, and this is where it's revealed that Hawk will, in fact, be Poppy's new guard. Seeing as how the first look of the maiden's face, being in the event of attack, could be a potential distraction, the Duke requests anyone that has not been given the privilege of seeing her without the veil to leave the room, and then instructs Poppy to remove her veil. Hawk did not have a reaction anyone in the room thought he might have had. Even with the scars marring one side of her face, and when the Duke was a fucking asshole and said, one side of her face is a masterpiece and the other side is a nightmare, cue my fucking hate for this man.
Yep.
Hawk said, both sides are as beautiful as the whole, and then took his vow to be her guard. Swoon. I'm sorry.
But when he did this... He didn't refer to her as the maiden.
He said Poppy. Like,
yeah.
I know. That was the cutest thing. Oh my God. Okay. Hold on. Tawny fangirls for a little bit when they reach Poppy's room and Poppy finally tells her that she and Hawk kissed. Tawny freaks out some more because what else do friends do? And the next day, Tawny and Poppy are in the atrium when two ladies in wait enter and do ridiculous things to try and gain Hawk's attention. And Hawk, being the amazing guy he is, helps them when they pretend to faint. I thought that was so funny. Okay.
That whole scene just made me laugh.
I know, right? Hawk then approaches Tawny and Poppy and informs them that the Duke has summoned Poppy. On their way, Hawk tries to talk to Poppy. Poppy is slightly dizzy.
Did you just call him Hop?
Did I?
How tired are you?
I don't know, bro. Okay. On their way, Hawk tries to talk to Poppy, and Poppy is slightly bitchy, but we still love her. She gets into the Duke's office and realizes that it's not just him there, but Lord Molester is there as well. Sigh. All right. Quick interjection. What happens next might be triggering for some people. We talk about Lord Molester being a total creep and being whipped and caned, and it's not in a fun way. If this makes you uncomfy, please feel free to skip ahead a little bit. So inside his office, the Duke makes Poppy take off her veil while Lord Molester is in the room, and then they mock her scars. He then makes her unbutton her gown, and as it pulls at her waist, her back and chest are bare. Lord Molester has chosen the perfect spot to watch and see her body. The Duke then takes a cane and gives her 7 lashes. On the 6th one, Lord Molester takes the arm that she was using to cover her chest and places it on the desk so that he could see her. The fucking creep. I fucking hate this part.
Yeah.
To her relief, Hawk is not outside waiting for her when she leaves the Duke's office. Victor is. After discussing how risky everything Poppy does is, including training, she asks Victor how he knew where she was. Victor informed her that Hawk sent one of the Duke's stewards for him as he was concerned about the summoning, when both Poppy and Tawny seemed distressed about it. Hawk also did not take it well when Victor told him that Victor would be the one to take over guard position for the rest of the day, pulling rank to get Hawk to listen. Victor also asked Poppy if the Duke was alone and mentioned to her that the royal guards outside of the office told him that they didn't know if they were alone. Poppy didn't want to mention that the Duke was not alone, so she lied and told him that it was just the two of them. After not leaving her room for 2 days to avoid everyone, especially Hawk, one night she's looking out her window and she sees a fire outside of the rise. Horns start blaring. Tawny rushes into Poppy's room to see and sees that Poppy is getting ready to go out and fight. Poppy made it to the rise, and that's when she saw that the Kraven were attacking. Hawk caught sight of Poppy, but we weren't sure if he knows it's her. They have this cute little scuffle during which he saw her dagger and called her Princess, which is what he called her in the Red Pearl. And he knew the dagger from there as well. This was all after the amazing line that was on t-shirts and sweatpants and fucking everywhere for this series. You are an absolutely stunning, murderous little creature. Swoon. Again. Oh, I fucking love that saying. Hawk finally reveals that he knows who she is and that he knew she was the girl from the Red Pearl the moment she took the veil off. He then sends her back to her room with a promise to finish their conversation. She makes it back to her room and tells Tawny about the Kraven attack. Hawk comes back to her room to finish their conversation, and they have a somewhat heart-to-heart where Poppy realizes that Hawk knows more than she originally thought. And he knows that she is helping everyone that is cursed die with dignity. He also reveals that he does the same thing. When she asks what he plans to do about her being on the rise during the attack, he says that if she goes out again, to wear different shoes, because those slippers will be the death of you, and the dress, the death of me. God, I fucking love him. I love this, like, whole interaction. I think it's beautiful. The Duke and Duchess then are taking care of people in the city. Hold on. The Duke and Duchess then are talking to the people of the city and are basically inciting fear, because what better way to control the masses than making them fearful for their safety, honestly. There's this weird dude in the crowd that Poppy sees, and then Victor tells Hawk to be on guard, to which Hawk tells him that he's already been tracking Blondie through the crowd and noticed a few others he's been keeping an eye on, making the score 1 Hawk, 0 Victor in their goddamn pissing contest, honestly. Okay. The blonde in the crowd throws something at them. It's a hand, but not just any hand. It's a Kraven hand. He chants, "From blood and ash, we will rise," until the guards haul him off. Victor escorted Poppy and Tawny back to Poppy's room, and he... Did I say Victor?
I think so.
Hawk escorted Tawny and Poppy back to Poppy's room, where he and Poppy talk. That sounded like poppycock. Also, hold on. Poppycock.
Continue on with the synopsis.
That was a good one.
We are 25 minutes into this.
Shut up. Okay. Hawk said that he doesn't like talking to the Veil, and then told her that she had a choice. What does that mean?
Like, she just has a choice, like, in life, because she didn't feel like she had a choice. And he was like, he continuously told her, you have a choice.
Okay. Then we skip to the next scene where Poppy goes to the Duchess to talk about her gift because it has been acting up and is working without any effort from her. And she was told never to use it. The Duchess said that it's just her gift maturing and it makes sense with her ascension coming up. Then the Duchess starts to tell Poppy about the first maiden. We don't know her name. And Duchess Tierman tells Poppy. Can you shut up? Okay. Duchess Tierman tells Poppy that the Dark One killed the first maiden. Poppy is in her lesson with one of the priestesses, and the priestess makes her opinion of Hawk very clear when he continuously interjects and corrects her during Poppy's reading whenever the princess... Whoa. Whenever... Shut up. Stop laughing at me. Okay. Whenever the priestess either corrects a pronunciation or tries to give details that are clearly wrong, at least according to Hawk. The priestess goes to slap Poppy, and Hawk intervenes, causing the priestess to really fucking not like him, but causing everyone else to fucking hate this bitch. Hawk picks up on something the priestess said to Poppy, though, and it was that she had become fond of the cane. And Hawk asks what that was about, and Poppy tries to change the subject. Hawk says he prefers the Poppy who wears no veil or mask, and we all swoon. Hawk mentions,
we do, though.
It's true. Hawk mentions he had a brother, and Poppy uses her gift to take away the pain she felt coming from him. But Hawk, being too aware, picks up on something weird happening, but allows Poppy to play dumb. The next chapter is probably one of the fucking funniest. Oh my god. One of my fave. Poppy was in the library reading the Diary of Willa Collins when she heard the Duke's voice. She climbed out of the window, was on the ledge, and overheard the Duke's conversation with some random dude. After the conversation ended, Hawk's voice from inside the room asks her if she's still out there.
But it was literally, "You still out there, princess?"
I love it. Okay, she thought she'd left Hawk outside of her room, fooling him into thinking that she was inside her room the whole time. Rookie fucking mistake, bro.
Oh my god. She should have known by now.
I know. Hawk finally gets her back inside, and while they're bickering back and forth, Hawk has his arms around her, and he dips his head. She thinks he's going to kiss her, and she thinks that this is going to be completely different from their first kiss, because now he knows who she is, and she admits that she wants to kiss him to herself.
Yeah.
After she's returned to the safety of her room, Hawk asks her how she got past him. She finally tells him about the secret passage in her room, and then he asks how she ended up on the ledge. Then she asks how he noticed she was gone. He admits that he was going to offer her to keep her company since they were both probably bored out of their minds. It's just really fucking cute. After that fun conversation, Hawk takes the book out of her hands and sees that it is the Diary of Miss Willa Collins. Poppy is mortified as he starts reading it out loud to her. And after... Dude, I cannot tell you. So during Christmas, right, I would bring a book because family. And I would bring a book and read it. And one of my uncles would take it and just start reading a part of it out loud. And it was like fucking Percy Jackson or some shit. Like nothing bad at all. And they would be like, "Ashley, what are you reading?" I was like,
imagine if they heard our podcast.
I know. Cringe. Okay.
This is why we haven't told anybody other than our parents.
Really, and though.
Sisters and my brother.
All right. After threatening to stab him in a, quote, very violent manner, he gives the book back to her and leads her to go back to her room.
Can Poppy, we just say where, first of all, I can't remember exactly what the comment is because I don't have the book with me, but she had said something like snarky to him and he goes, "I doubt that." And then she goes, "If you keep reading that, I'm going to stab you in a very violent manner. Now that I believe."
I love it. Especially when we learn about like his parents and their relationship. Okay. Mm-hmm. Poppy and Tawny get ready for the rite, and this is one of the only times that Poppy is allowed to be seen without the veil, even though she will be wearing a mask. Hawk isn't at her door to get her with, like, hold on.
Hawk Victor isn't and at Hawk her were door supposed to be to there.
Yes. Hawk isn't at her door to get her with Victor like she thought, and Victor lets her know that he had to meet with the commander beforehand and would meet them at the rite. During the rite, Agnes, the wife of the cursed man Poppy and Victor helped to die with dignity, approaches her and tells her to be careful. They try to get more information out of her, but she clams up. They go back inside and see that the Duke still hasn't arrived. Thank God. Hawk shows up, and after the ceremony part of the rite is over, Victor leaves to go talk to the commander, and Poppy convinces Tawny to go have fun. Poppy realizes that Tawny won't have any fun as long as Poppy's there and will still come back to find her, so she decides she wants to leave the rite and go back to her. So on the way out of the rite, Hawk stops her to tell her that she looks beautiful and then suggests that they go to the garden. Poppy is hesitant as she associates the garden with Ryland's death, but Hawk tells her that she needs to replace the bad memory with a good one, and they make their way down to the garden. During their walk to the garden, Hawk tells Poppy a little bit about the tunnels that he, his brother, and his best friend would play in growing up, and that the tunnels were one of the last places he had seen his brother. Hold on, we need to talk about this really quick. First of all, the fact that their best friend is the fucking Wolven that he was told that he needed to marry, I hate her. And I think that's mostly just because I hate everything that messes with my ship, okay? Second, the fact that the tunnels were one of the last places that he had seen his brother. When you hear that story, it's fucking so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so fucking sad. Makes me, like, tear up. Poppy admitted that she didn't want to see the night blooming roses, even though they were her favorite. And Hawk led her to the weeping willow. Under the tree, it was completely dark, and Hawk suspiciously saw the benches and then got Poppy to sit on his lap. She made excuses for why they shouldn't be doing that, and Hawk said that he didn't care what she was, but he cared about who she was.
Aww.
Hawk says that he should probably be getting her back to her room when Poppy asks him to kiss her. After a little bit of doing very inappropriate things,
as Poppy says.
Yes. Hawk finally stops, and they start to go to Poppy's room. And no, not to finish doing inappropriate things, unfortunately. Okay.
This book, I just want to say really quick, everybody who's like, oh my God, From Blood and Ash is so spicy. The first time I read this, I was like, no. And then I was like, oh, okay, the rest of the series is not this book.
No.
We don't get much spice in this book.
We get her losing her V card.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then we get them fucking in the snow, but...
Oh, one of my faves. Okay.
Right after she stabbed him in the heart.
Okay. On their way out of the gardens, Victor finds them and knows exactly what they were doing. Victor is pissed, and he and Hawk get into a dick measuring contest, after which Victor relieves Hawk of his guard duty for the night and starts to take Poppy back to her room. They argue for a bit, and she finally tells Victor that she doesn't want to be the maiden because everybody else gets the freedom to do what they want and they take it for granted, and she doesn't get to do anything. On their way back to her rooms, there is screaming and chaos coming from the room where the rite was being held. We go inside the room. The Duke has been strung up and stabbed with the cane that was used to lash Poppy, and the Dark One's mark was left in blood, saying, "From blood and ash, we shall rise." There was a ton of chaos. Poppy got split up from Victor and Tawny. The commander found her. They start guiding her to safety. Tawny and Victor both show back up in the crowd. The Duchess finds them, and they go to a room to wait out all of this chaos happening. This was the dumbest idea. Okay. The door to the room starts getting hit, and then the door bursts open. Poppy gets her dagger, and she and Victor take out all of the attackers. Poppy and Victor make to leave the room to go somewhere else, but one of the dissenters they thought they had killed gets up and stabs Victor. He apologizes to her and said that he didn't protect her and that he failed her as a man. He died, and Hawk showed up to finish off the dissenter. Lord Molester said something shitty as normal, and Poppy not only kills him, but fucking annihilates this man. And when I say I am so fucking happy this happened. I can't even tell you. Also, we find out that he smells heavily of jasmine. So Poppy puts it together based on the jasmine petal that was found in the room earlier, that he's the one that killed the lady in waiting. Fuck this man. Okay. Good riddance.
I was waiting that? And I was like, I don't think she's seen where my comment is. Otherwise, she would have waited to say all of this shit until after that comment.
Yes. Good riddance. Hawk uses a pressure point to knock her out. She misses Victor's funeral because she'd been sleeping. She finally took the sleeping aid the healer gave her, but she was using it a fuck ton, basically, to avoid life. So Hawk takes it away. Hawk comes into her room one day, and they have a bit of a heart-to-heart where Hawk apologizes and says he wishes that there was more he could have done. Then he finally tells Poppy that the Duchess summoned her and that word from the capital had arrived. The Duchess informs Poppy that the King and Queen no longer feel that Poppy is safe in Macedonia, and they request that she be brought back to the capital, Carcedonia. God.
I almost got them mixed up as I was writing it because they sound so fucking similar.
I know. It's because I do it with, like, the C for capital. Okay.
I get it.
Poppy asks if she will be punished, and the Duchess tells her no, but to never speak of the Duke and Lord Molester again. Poppy figures that she must have known what the Duke was like with her, and she definitely knew what the Lord was like. The Duchess also told Poppy not to waste another minute thinking about what she did to them.
Because the Duchess definitely would not.
Yes, and I forgot to doesn't add that she in put there. It together that the like if they were treating Poppy like this, what were they treating the Duchess like?
Yeah, that's what she thinks in her head.
Yeah. The meeting ends with the Duchess telling Poppy that she leaves in the morning with the sunrise. Back in Poppy's room, Hawk and Poppy get into a fight about if Tawny is going to go with them to Carcedonia or not, and they have this argument in front of Tawny and Commander Jensen. Poppy turns
Commander to Jensen's reaction throughout the entire argument is my favorite thing.
I love. Poppy turned to the commander for help, but he just said that Hawk, being her only personal royal guard, was taking the lead on the trip and was going to have to make the decision.
And Tawny, I just say really quick, the way that that comment was made, though, literally had me, like, gasping for air because I was laughing so fucking hard. Well, he's the lead guard, or he's the guard in charge, and she, like, made a comment about it, and he goes, well, seeing as he's your only royal guard...
Yeah. Like, it was like the listen, Linda. Okay. Tawny told Poppy that Hawk was right and that she couldn't go with them. Hawk also informed Poppy to leave her veil and that she would not be wearing it during their trip. The next morning, Poppy said goodbye to Tawny and waited for Hawk and the other guards by the rise. Hawk shows up, gives her the dagger that Victor had given her when she turned 16. She thought it was lost, but Hawk said he found it and kept it safe for her. Hawk informed Poppy that she would be riding on the same horse as him, and of course, in normal Hawk fashion, made a comment that Poppy deemed inappropriate. The other guards show up, and out of the 8 men, 2 of them were who Poppy had played cards with at the Red Pearl. One of them was named Kieran, the man that knocked on the door when Poppy and Hawk were at the Red Pearl. And the other 5 she didn't recognize. Poppy is basically nestled in Hawk's embrace as they ride. They make it to the Blood Forest, where one guard is on the lookout for Barretts. And Poppy realizes that on the ground are bones from pretty much anything that has bones. They end up making camp. Was that dramatic enough? I don't know if that was dramatic enough. Anything that has bones, guys.
I'm going to edit that out. I'm going to put that one right in place of the other one.
Okay. They end up making camp, and they have 4 guards that sleep and 4 guards who keep watch. Hawk comes over to Poppy, who should be sleeping, and realizes that she's cold, so she can't sleep. He lays down with her, basically wraps his body around hers so that he can keep her warm. as he claims, but we all know this man has other ideas too, and after some entertaining banter, he basically gives her the female version of an over the pants hand job.
Yep.
So that she can go to bed. What do you call that? Over the pants diddly
skiddly? That's why I wrote it the way I wrote it, because I was like, I don't even know how to say this.
Hold on. What is it called?
He basically fingers her over her pants. I don't know.
It's called diddling your skittle. So it's like okay. Over the pants.
I have no idea. Let's move on. Okay. The next day, Poppy overheard.
Stop. The next day, Poppy overheard a suspicious conversation between Kieran and Hawk, and they took off for the day to get farther along their journey. Somewhere along the way, they stopped because Kieran almost fell off one of his horses when it got spooked. A Barrett comes running through the running towards one of the guards, and they're able to kill it. All of a sudden, a shit ton of Barretts come out of the forest at them. Then comes the mist and a shit ton of Kraven. They're able to fight off all of the Kraven. Poppy's foot gets stuck in a root when she's trying to fight one of them, and Eric saves her, but suffers a horrible wound. She uses her gift to take away his pain while he dies, and he recognizes her from the Red Pearl as the person they played cards with. He died, and Philip and Hawk knew something happened. Philip then knew what he heard about her having the touch was true. They get to the Three Rivers, and the town is different than Poppy expected. Poppy realizes that the people at the palace there are acting very strangely. Hawk knew one of the people's names, even though she hadn't given it, and he'd only been there once. Poppy eats and takes a bath. Hawk comes into her room, where they talk about her gift. Poppy shares what she knows about it, along with the fact that she read his emotions a few times, and she's eased his pain twice. They have a cute moment where Hawk tells her how amazing she is, and then he goes to leave. Poppy stops him and asks him to stay with her that night. He ends up staying. They end up fucking. And oh my god, it's great. I guess I just needed a cough. That ends with Hawk making Poppy promise that no matter what happens, she will remember that everything that just happened was real.
Now, keep that in mind, okay? Now, moving on.
Now, cue the shit show. Grab your popcorn and drinks, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to get real fucking good. Okay. Poppy wakes up to Hawk being called away in the middle of the night, then goes back to sleep. Philip shows up at her door, tells her that two of the guards have gone missing since they've arrived in Three Rivers. And he tells her that something is not right with Kieran and Hawk. Oh my god. Says that something is not right with Kieran and Hawk. She doesn't believe him, but does as he says to try and figure out how to best get out of the situation. Kieran comes into the hallway and sees them leaving. He tries to figure out what's going on. Philip takes his sword out and stabs Kieran. Kieran loses his ever-loving shit, changes into his wolven form, and chases them. Poppy still doesn't believe that Hawk is bad, and she and Philip race to the stables, where two of the other guards are getting their horses ready so that they can get Poppy to safety. In the stables, they block the doors, and as they talk about a way to escape, the asshole that killed Rylan comes in and makes some threats, and then Hawk comes in, and Kieran and him kill all of the guards. Poppy tries to feel his emotions, only to find that he's blocked her out. The asshole that killed Rylan asks if he can kill her, and Hawk says that if he touches her, he will lose more than a hand, and that they need her alive. Poppy is blinded by rage and starts attacking anyone that comes near her. We get this lovely scene where Hawk and Poppy fight, and damn, girl got fucking skills, okay?
She got some good hits in, for real, though.
For real, for real. They are then able to keep her from moving. Hold on. They then are able to keep her from moving and take her to the cells. Delano brings her food, and a little while later, Hawk comes in. Delano. How do you say this guy's name?
Nail, because that's quite literally how it's fucking spelled.
I called him Niall.
No, because the I would be at the beginning.
I know, but in my brain I was like, it's Niall.
Because of One Direction.
Yes. Oh my god. Okay. Delano and Nail. Who the fuck names their child Nail? Okay. They come to take her to a more comfortable place. Jericho, more affectionately known as the asshole that killed Rylan.
Yeah, pretty much.
A couple of other people come to kill. Oh, Jericho and a couple of other people come to kill Poppy. There's this really intense fight. Mr. Toulis, the man that the family, or the man in the family that wanted their son excluded from the right, was there. And she was hurt really badly. Kieran comes in and saves the day and sent someone to go get Hawk. Hawk refused to let her die, so he made her drink his blood.
Which is
his
forbidden.
Blood, yes. His blood makes her horny as fuck. And she finally puts it together that Hawk is actually the Dark One and that his name is Castile. She calls him Hawk and he gets mad because he asked her to call him Castile and told her that she should not call him that. Then Poppy took the bloodstone dagger Mr. Toulis used to injure her and stabbed Castile in the heart with it. Both of them are shocked and she cries. And she said sorry and left to escape. He caught her, drank her blood, and then they fucked in the snow. LOL. Poppycock. Get it? Because... Okay. He said something about how he should have known. He also informed her that she should have aimed for the head if she wanted to kill him. He was pissed that she forgot it was real. Hawk then tells her that he'll be taking her home to Atlantia. Kieran is tasked with keeping Poppy safe while Castile went off to do something, and he gives her some information about Atlantia and how the Skodos Mountains keep it safe. She takes a bath, they have a weird conversation, then Castile comes in and tells her that they're going to dinner. In the hallway, everyone who was part of hurting Poppy is dead and hung up on the walls, all except for Jericho, who is still alive but still hanging from the walls.
Yep.
Castile explains that he will keep him alive until he feels it's necessary for him to die. He then explains how he believes that Poppy is not fully mortal, and she is half Atlantean. He then announces they are going home to Atlantia for them to get married. The end.
Oh my god, that took forever. All right, moving on. Makeup looks. Okay, but you having to stop every so often to laugh or make jokes. All right, so makeup looks. I did through one eye because Ashley took my fucking ideas. Just kidding. We just had the same idea, and then I was like, "Well, mine's gonna be so much cooler because I was gonna pull out all of my blood and liquid latex." Just kidding. Ashley's not paying attention. It's fine. Poppy's dagger through one of my eyes, with like the Craven Bone dagger, and and then I put fake blood dripping off. Woven bone, there we go. That's my bad. So I put blood dripping off of it because, you know, Poppy stabs a lot of people in this book. So
yeah.
Right. Pretty much everyone she meets, she stabbed at least once, honestly.
Fair enough. I mean, I if I could, I would. Okay. So I did, on one side of my face, I did Poppy scars. And I did it in like a pale pink color to kind of look like they were starting to heal. And then on the other side, I went hella basic, and I did two little, like, vampire bite holes up my eye. Yeah, that's what we did. Okay.
Yeah, fun.
Let's get into these discussion questions.
Are we just gonna speed talk through the rest of this? All right, so when did you put it together that Hawk wasn't who he said he was? I know your answer because you told me as soon as I figured it out.
Okay, so I literally figured it out in chapter two. Because, like, there's a point, and I actually have it highlighted in my book, that they're making out, and it says she dragged her tongue over his abnormally sharp, and then it, like, cuts off and goes to, like, another paragraph. And so I was like, abnormally sharp? That's weird. Why does he have really sharp teeth? And then I was like, I bet this motherfucker's a vampire. And then I moved on, and I was like, damn, Ashley. Got it in one.
I didn't put it together until, like, we were in the barn and, like, everybody else was making comments and he was cutting everybody off. I'm like, oh, I know who this motherfucker is.
You figured it out the end of the book before she did?
Yeah. Pretty much.
What did you think of Poppy?
Well, if my synopsis writing didn't say anything, I love her. Duh.
Dude, Poppy's awesome.
Yeah. Fucking love her. She's just badass. And then I also like how just things that, like, I feel like are not quite as common in like fantasy books where it's like she's extremely anxious or she's like concerned about these certain things, you know, like mm-hmm. worried like, oh, well, I've got to do this for this person. Like, I feel like I don't read that too much in fantasy books.
I agree.
So I just really like how she was portrayed. And then also just like she really didn't put up a shit from anybody.
I know. I love it. I really like Poppy as like a badass female main character. Mm-hmm. I do think that kind of like starts to switch a little bit as we get further into the series, but we'll talk about that, at least for me. But I really like Poppy. I think she's fucking badass. I also love the whole learning to accept yourself, including your flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking beautiful.
After you finished this book for the first time, what was your reaction?
Okay, Heike, the first time I finished this book, I put down my phone because I read it on Kindle. I put down my phone and I was like, why the fuck are they going to get married? Like, what the fuck? How did we come to this conclusion? Who decided this? What's going on? I was so confused. And then I was like, immediately download from Kingdom of Flesh and Fire because I'm confused.
My reaction was I panicked because I didn't buy the other one or the second one. So I was like, hey, you're going to need to order it. This is on Prime. Is it going to get here?
Like, oh my God.
This is before I had Kindle. So.
Well, at least you're not part of that club now. Okay. What did you think about the Duchess? Do you think she was redeemed by her not telling anyone what Poppy did to Lord Molester?
I wish she would die too. I don't really like her. I still don't.
Based on where we're at right now or based on the entire series too?
Just basically, I don't remember her much in the other parts of the series. Dude, but seriously? Even right now, I still kind of is like, for me, I'm just like, okay, so you're not going to tell everybody that she killed him? That doesn't, like, the fact that you still knew
yeah.
and didn't do anything, like, it doesn't, fix the problem by you not telling anybody that Poppy killed him.
I absolutely agree. That she was just
as big, she was just as big of an abuser for not saying anything and continuing to let it go on as the Duke and Lord Molester were.
I absolutely agree.
So
1,000%.
No, I don't think she was redeemed.
I agree. And then I just start to hate her worse.
Yeah.
As we keep going because of her role in everything that happens at.
Okay. So then didn't remember like specifics. I just remember I fucking hate her. That's all I remember. So.
Okay.
Oh, God damn. I don't have it with me. I don't know my fucking favorite quotes. So you're going to read me your favorite quotes and we'll just go and I'll agree or disagree. Favorite quotes, Ashley?
Okay. Let's see. Obviously, you're an absolutely stunning, murderous little creature.
Yep.
Hold on. I'm still looking.
Honestly, anything yes. Poppy says is my here favorite. It is.
With my sword and with my life, I vow to keep you safe. Penelope. How do you say her name?
Penelope.
Okay.
I messed up earlier when I said basically anything Poppy says. No, basically anything Hawk says is just my favorite. So
true enough. No, when he says, with my sword and with my life, I vow to keep you safe, Penelope. From this moment until the last, I am yours. Also, the fact that he calls her princess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nothing is ever simple, and when it is, it's rarely ever worth it.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this one already. The next time you go out, wear better shoes and thicker clothing. Those slippers are likely to be the death of you, and that dress, the death of me. You're such a bad influence. Only the bad can be influenced, princess. Love. Hold on. I'm still going. Okay. Tiny coils of tension formed in my stomach. Part of me wanted to be reminded that I surely of what I surely had not forgotten. Thank the gods, the smarter logical part of me won out. There was nothing worth remembering. Now you insult me after throwing a dagger at my face. You've wounded my tender feelings.
He's such a smartass and I love it.
I know. Poppy, you wound me in my heart, he said, placing a hand over his chest. Again. Don't whine. You'll heal. Again. Unfortunately. Oh. I fucking love, like, almost everything from him is fucking gold.
Mm-hmm. Anything when it's the two of them together, though, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree. What were your overall thoughts on the book?
Well, if I didn't love it, then I don't think we would be having it on here. Because I don't think either one of us would pick a reread if we both hated the book. Or if one of us did. That'd be fucking torture.
I really like this book. I do think it starts to get more confusing as we go on. Like, some of the plot development is really weird, but we'll get there. I really do love this book, though. I think it's a phenomenal first book. I think it's great. Anything you want to add, Lexi?
No, I already said it's a great book.
Okay. Let's head into these current reads, Lex. Go ahead.
Obviously, I read From Blood and Ash. I did finish Forever Golden, Kings of Cypress Point. I can't remember the book.
I think it's the third one.
Okay, whichever one was the last one between those two.
The third one.
By Rachel Jonas and Nikki Thorne. Then I took a break from that and literally read another book that was almost the exact same, just different people. Pretty Little Savage. I honestly thought that this was going to be a reverse harem and then was very, very disappointed when it wasn't. So, Pretty Little Savage, book one of the Sick Boys series by Lucy Smoke. Then I read Stone Cold Queen, book two, same characters, or the same two couple. And then Natural Born Killer, again, same couple, book three. In that, or the Sick Boys series. And then I did read Wicked Dark Heathens. It is book four in the Sick Boys series by Lucy Smoke. It is a different couple. Then I read Pageant, which is a mafia reverse harem romance by Lilith Vincent. I'm not gonna lie, I was very confused. Like, I was reading it, I'm like, how did we end up here? Like, and I'd go back, reread, I'm like, I'm not understanding. Like, and
the puzzle pieces aren't clicking.
Don't let this be like something that makes you think, oh my God, reverse harem. There's nothing in this book really so far yet that's like a true reverse harem. Aww. So I think it's more so like a series thing because there's going to be another book. So I think it's good. We're going to get more of that in the second book. I'm not sure, though. There wasn't really anything that gave me, like, reverse harem vibes. So then I read Keeping Denver by Crystal Daniels and Sandy Alvarez. I did start Grand Pack by J.C. Hawk. I also did start, what was the name of that? I missed one book that I have on this list. I also started House of Lies and Sorrow by Emily Blackwood. So I started Grand Pack by J.C. Hawk. I did start House of Lies and Sorrow. And then I got a page in on A Kingdom of Ruin by K.F. Breen. So this week, maybe I'll finish Grand Pack by J.C. Hawk. This one hasn't really, honestly, impressed me all that much. This one, again, like Pageant, I'm extremely confused.
Were you drunk when you started this
No,
book?
No. Okay. I got home from work and I sat in the driveway reading while I was vaping. And then I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, I'm 50% of the way through and I'm still really confused. And I'm honestly, I also don't really like the female main character. She kind of pisses me off. Anyways, so I do plan to read Bloody Cruel Psycho by Lucy Smoke, which is the last book in the Sick Boys series. Then Conclave, I will read that because it's the novella in the Devil's Night series. And then I am going to read A Kingdom of the Ruin by K.F. Breen and A Queen of Ruin by K.F. Breen. because the fourth one came out and I thought I finished the first three. Turns out I only finished the first two. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to wait to read the third one before the fourth one comes out because I don't remember anything that happened so far that I kind of skimmed through in a Kingdom of Ruins. So that's where we're at. Oh, I also need to finish House of Lies and Sorrow. This one, I can't tell you what it's about. All I know is that there's Faye. So. Oh. That's all I can tell you.
Add to cart. Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay. So this week, I read It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey. Also, I always hear, this book is so spicy. You wouldn't think it. Bitches was right. Okay. Like, I was like, holy fuck. Okay. We got some spice happening here. And I like took this book to read, like book with me to work to read. And I was like, I hope nobody's reading over my shoulder because this is awkward. Okay. I also finished the Kings of Cypress Point series. So I finished Mr. Silver and Sexy Beast, both by Nikki Thorne and Rachel Jonas. Fucking great. I loved them. I especially loved the Sexy Beast one. It's a pregnancy romance. Also, it's kind of dark for a pregnancy romance because she has endometriosis and she was told she was never going to have a kid. But she's pregnant. And so it's really like hard that way for them. It was really cute. I really liked it. Also, found out who Pandora is. Okay. Next, I read Paradise Found by J.A. Lowe. I'm pretty sure this was like book three in a series that I did not read. Book one and two, four. But it was good. I liked it. Next, I read Suddenly Forbidden by Ella Fields, Gray Springs University series. This is book one. I did not like this book because there was a lot of cheating in this book and it really bothered me. I will not be continuing this series. Next, I finished Maverick by Serena Ackroyd, which is Dark and Dirty Sinners MC book 6.
How many times have you read that fucking series?
Dude, this is like my one time reading this series. I haven't even gotten through it one time, but there's like so many books.
Then which one is it that you've reread?
Are you talking about the one by Lila Rose?
Oh, that's the one. Okay. But there's one where I feel like you literally, I hear about it so much and you're like, oh, I'm rereading this.
Yes, because it's good. Okay. I'm currently reading Hawk by Serena Ackroyd, which is Dark and Dirty Sinners MC book 7. Hold on. 7, 8, 9. Yep, book 7. It's really good. I'm also pretty sure this book is about to become Polly. So,
oh, this is the one? Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I thought you meant Dark Lover, and I was like, whoa, okay.
No. I also am going to be reading Dark Lover by J.R. Ward. I haven't read any J.R. Ward, but...
And you're supposed to be the one... You're supposed to read it, because I have another book that we both talked about reading that I'm going to read and tell you if it's good. You tell me if that one's good. And then we'll both go out and spend more money.
Two of Dark Lover.
Basically, if the books that we bought while I was in North Carolina are good, we're both going to go out and spend all our money on them.
Basically. And then I'm also going to read Book of Night by Holly Black.
Ooh, you have to tell me that one's good, even though I own it.
I will. Okay. Social media. If you guys want to hit us up on our social medias, see our book looks. Ask any questions, give any recommendations, any books that you want us to read or do episodes on, hit us up. TikTok is blues.library and blues.librarypodcast. You can also hit us up on our website. It is blues-library.com. All right, y'all. Have a good week. Be safe out there. Don't drink and drive.
Don't stab people for no reason.
Also, just don't stab people.
No, if there's a reason and it's a good reason, like you're protecting yourself, then absolutely.
Unless you're in the UK.
Yes, we did learn that.
Don't drink and drive. Make sure that you are very careful with driving. Drive defensively. You guys know what we learned in driver's ed.
Don't get involved in any road rage shit. That's how I almost died. Honestly, half the time, just don't listen to mine and Ashley's advice because we're horrible with it. Yeah. Bye.